The next coach on the teleconference is Iowa's Kirk Ferentz. Iowa's at home Saturday to take on Ohio State, a 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff on ESPN. Coach, thanks for joining us. If you could give us some quick opening comments, then we'll open the call for media questions.
Sure. We were really happy to get the victory Saturday night. It was a hard-fought game with Minnesota, and we had a great crowd. Fans were just tremendous. Kinnick night games are really very, very special things, so we were happy to get that victory. Certainly didn't have much time to celebrate it, being a night game. And then also we face a big, big task this week, playing a tremendous Ohio State football team. So, we turned our attention to them on Saturday and know that we have our hands more than full this week. Take our absolute best effort to be in this football game.
Thanks, Coach. Let's take questions from the media.
To ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, if there are no questions in the queue, following two prompts, we will conclude that coach's portion of the call. Your first question comes from the line of Tim May with the Columbus Dispatch.
Well, thank you very much. Hi, Coach. I was wondering if you could explain the worth, the value of Akram Wadley, what he means to your offense, from that almost dual threat type standpoint.
Well, Akram's had a really nice career with us. He was pretty much under-recruited out of New Jersey, coming out of high school, and has really developed really nicely. And really since midseason of 2015, he's done a really good job for us. So he can, he does a good job running the football, certainly a threat as a receiver as well. And it's just been a really, really good member of our football team.
Another quickie, as you watch the video of Ohio State on their defensive front, obviously their defensive front kind of took over the game the last couple of possessions last week, but number 6 in particular, Sam Hubbard, what just jumps out at you as you watch him on video?
I mean, really, where do you want me to start? Probably the toughest thing is to figure out who to put in there, because they have a lot of guys that are really good football players, and as a result of that, they're able to rotate, keep their guys fresh, and Hubbard's, I think, very similar to the other ends. I mean, they're all different in terms of their builds and all that type of thing, but they're all very, very athletic. They can play with power. They can play with speed and quickness. And, I don't like using the word instinctive because it kind of suggests like a guy really doesn't, he's just lucky maybe or was born in a certain way. But God knows how to play football. And, he's just he gets to the football. He's got a high motor. I mean, he's got everything you want in a good defensive end.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Your next question comes from the line of Eric Olson with Associated Press.
Yeah, Kirk, I know you guys have had all kinds of turnover and so forth on the offensive line because of injuries and so forth. I was wondering, with the rushing attack, beyond that, is there anything you can point your finger to that just kind of explains why you guys have kind of had some difficulty moving it on the ground?
Well, I think, I'm not here to offer excuses, but facts are the facts. We have a first-year quarterback, one returning receiver, and two first-year tight ends. And right now we got two first-year tackles, one just out of high school and one is out of high school, redshirted last year. So he's playing his ninth game of his career. And you start trading out guys that are fifth-year seniors that are pretty experienced and pretty good football players. For guys that are just coming out, it's not the same. And, so that's it. I mean, we graduated an NFL quarterback. We graduated, pretty good receiver. Ron McCarron's up in New England, tight end that starts with the 49ers. So those kinds of things make it a little bit different. And, the key to the football game is try to find a way to win. We don't have guys, stacked up on the shelves. That's just never been the nature of our program. And, we have to develop our guys, so we're in a little bit of a developmental mode. But that being said, too, I mean it's November now, so it's not like this is our first week out or any of that kind of stuff. And we'll just take it a game at a time, a play at a time, really, and see if we can't carve out a couple yards.
Is there anything that you guys have done as far as kind of trying to work around that by changing things up offensively with just kind of the way the game is called?
It may not always appear this way, but we do try to put good thought into every game plan. And to me, a good game plan starts with knowing what your players can do and can't do. But the other thing you don't want to do is ever sell your players short either. And again, we're not looking for a crutch or an excuse, you know. I mean, we're just trying to get better. And I thought we got better the other day. And, you know, we're flipping that around. I mean, we're a couple, you know, near misses away from being a little bit more like we'd want to be on offense. But, you know, near misses don't count in football. So, you know, that's a challenge we're fighting right now. We're just working to get better and, you know, see if we can't find a way to be productive.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question comes from the line of Chad Listicow with Des Moines Register.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. Almost
good
afternoon.
Morning.
Wanted to ask about, I assume by now you've gathered some information about what happened with Brian in the press box. And
correct.
Curious if, you know, how big of a deal is this to you? How serious of a deal, I guess I should say, and would there be any discipline?
Well, it is serious, and it was mainly because it was inappropriate. And, you know, it's been addressed on a couple levels. I've addressed it with Brian. His supervisor, Gary Barta, will visit with him today about it. And, you know, we've had conversation with the conference as well. So I think all the steps have been taken. As I said the other night, I didn't have many details. I have more now, certainly. And as I said Saturday night, it was inappropriate. It remains inappropriate. And can't have it again.
You've always kind of talked about him having a different brand, I guess, of coaching style, I guess, from you. Is this just kind of an example of that, I guess?
Yeah, but I would say this, no matter what your profession is, you know, you're going to get to a point where you have to, you know, you just have to learn how to control things that might be frustrating you. And football can be extremely frustrating, especially during the games. And, you know, but I imagine that's probably true in any profession. So it's just there are things you can do and there are things you can't do. And what happened Saturday was inappropriate.
Thanks, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
We have time for one final question from the media.
Your final question comes from the line of Bill Rabinowitz with Columbus Dispatch.
Hey, Kirk. I remember talking to you in Baltimore when Iowa hired you 21 years ago. Could you have ever imagined becoming the longest tenured coach in college football? And how important is coaching stability to a program like Iowa?
Yeah, first of all, you got a good memory. You know, it's impressive you can think back that far. But, no, I mean, you know, and if you followed our first year, I'm not sure anybody envisioned me being here for the second year. We were 1-10 our first season. But I think, you know, one of the reasons it was a no-brainer decision for me when the opportunity presented itself to come back here, having been here 9 years, I really felt at least like I had a pretty good feel for the culture. And then ironically, when I got here 9 years later, it was a different president and different athletic director. Bob Bowlesby was our athletic director. And I really didn't know either of the people, but I just had faith and trust in the university and the culture that's here. And growing up in Pittsburgh, you know, it feels very similar to what the Steelers have, and it just seems to me to be pretty logical in sports. I don't know about much else, but at least in football, if you look at the teams that have had success on the professional ranks and collegiately, stability usually goes with that. And, you know, but with that also, you know, you have disappointment, and we certainly have had our share over the last 19 years. But, you know, you kind of learn not to panic, and you try to analyze things and look for solutions rather than, you know, just make people walk the plank. And again, I think the Steel organization is a great example of that, the New England Patriots organization. You know, but that takes leadership where people understand how the world works and what challenges are out there. And, you know, that's kind of few and far between, quite frankly, I think, in this, at least in what we do, you know, in football, whether it be the NFL or the college level. So, all that being said, I'm just really extremely appreciative to be in a great place where we have an opportunity to win, and more importantly, I get to work with really stable people, and I at least when I come in every morning, I think I have a pretty clear idea what the expectations are here.
And now more than ever, it seems like there's no job security for coaches. I saw it happen in Florida. It seemed like half the SEC is on the hot seat. I mean, when you look around the country and see that, what do you think?
Well, I mean, we live in a very reactionary society, and it's certainly reflected in sports. And the other thing, obviously, the money has changed. You know, the money's grown, and TV's driven that whole thing. But from 20 years ago, although, you know, firing coaches wasn't unique in you know, 20 years ago, and I still remember, I won't mention the school, but I still remember the first time I can recall a coordinator, you know, being let go. It was in the early 80s at a Big Ten university, and that was kind of like different, you know, and there's probably been, I don't know, five or six of those this year. So it's just, you know, it's kind of the world we live in right now, and everybody wants it now, or they wanted it yesterday, or they want to be able to predict, you know, project what you're going to do tomorrow. And if they don't like that projection, they make a change. So, yeah, you know, everybody's allowed to their own opinions how to do things, and I feel very fortunate to be in a place where I think, you know, we kind of enjoy rare stability.
Coach, thanks again for joining us. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you.